Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. As always, I'm your host, Roy Richards. And before I welcome today's guest, let me take a few minutes to tell you where we've been and where we're going. Regular listeners will recall that during the first part of 2013, we've been moving through what I call the six R's of midlife renewal. By the way, if you've missed some of the prior R's, you can go back at any time and listen to our prior programs from this website, Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, and that's the joy of the internet. But in January, as you may recall, we began with New Year's resolutions, or resolutions, the first R of the six R's, which obviously everyone does early in the year, and we discussed how we can avoid breaking those. We also then progressed through retirement, which is so important for planning at middle age, recharging your place of work and career so that you can find someone to pay you to have a good time, and you're in charge of your own career, and it's not up to someone else. And then we moved on to the fourth R, which is the all-important relationships with others. Today, we move on to the fifth R of midlife renewal, and that's positively re-energizing your mind, body, and spirit. And you know, we all need to need positive energy to proceed joyfully and productively through the second half of life. Energy, or lack thereof, is a prime difference between those who look youthful and feel youthful and those who are old before their time. And let me begin today's program by telling a story of a very inspirational fellow I met recently and had a chance to talk with. Actually, this guy is in his late 60s. So he's outside the normal definition of middle age, although he looks and acts much younger than his years. And as we often point out on this program, middle age is really up to your own mind. Chronological age doesn't make that much difference. This man has not had a real easy life. He's faced some significant traumas. His first wife, with no advanced warning, committed suicide years ago. He had a second wife who he loved very much, who died of cancer only 3 months after she was diagnosed. He also suffered through a small business failure in his career. But these tragedies and setbacks couldn't keep him down, and he retired at age 65 from a worldwide major manufacturing company. But then in less than a year later, he unretired to become an independent contractor consultant for his former company. And not because he needed to. He was well set financially through careful planning and through his pension, but because he wanted to. And he became involved in a project then that was totally unrelated to his former job, and he excelled at it. But he retired again last month, although his former boss continually urges him to stay on or to adopt a new project. He retired again because he has other things in life he wants to accomplish and because he's just tired of the commute. And he's also in a satisfying new relationship with a widow who he'd known for years, which obviously anyone who's suffered a loss, it's a great thing if you can find someone else to be close to as you advance in age. The bottom line is, regardless of your present age, this is the type of situation I want for all of you. Have someone pay you to have a good time. Retire when you want to, not because you're forced to. Be in charge of your own destiny and have secure finances through savings and investments. So in your 60s, you can work only if and when you want to work, not because you have to work to pay the bills. And also, of course, we want satisfying relationships at any age. I asked this satisfied retiree his secret, and he gave me what I call the PENS formula. You know, we all write, we're writing PENS, P-E-N-S. And let me go through each letter in the PENS formula. The P is for prayer on a regular basis. And if you're not a Christian or a Jew, you can certainly expand the word prayer to mean any kind of a connection of one's spirit to a higher power or something beyond ourselves. Some people might call it communication with universal consciousness. You know, it's very foolish to depend strictly upon our own inner resources to re-energize the spirit and to re-energize the body. So it's very important that we look beyond ourselves and connect for divine guidance. The E of the PENS formula is exercise, and I'm talking about regular exercise. I don't mean you have to run a marathon every day. It certainly doesn't have to be strenuous, and especially as you're just starting out and as we grow older, we don't want it to be real strenuous. Just go out for a nice walk each day or do something around the house, but exercise is extremely important. And, you know, it's very hard to renew the mind and spirit when you're seriously overweight or you're sluggish or have low energy. Maybe you have bad nutrition and a sedentary body that sits around all day. So exercise is a very important element in that formula. The third, the N of the PENS formula is nutrition. And I'm not an expert on advantageous diet. In fact, I don't do a very good job at it. But I will have at least one guest on in coming weeks who is. And most fitness experts recommend whole grain foods, less processed foods, cut down on coffee, sodas, and alcohol. And, of course, they tell you to cut down on my favorite, which is salt. And my wife's constantly on me anytime I pick up the salt shaker. But that's we'll get into nutrition down the line. And the fourth, the S of the PENS formula may be surprising to some, but that's sleep. And sleep, believe it or not, may be even more important than diet and exercise in staying healthy and young. And as a guest on next week's program, we're going to have Canada's leading sleepologist, as he calls himself, or a sleep expert that will tell you just how important and why it's so important, how important sleep is. It's important both to remain youthful and to regenerate your vitality overnight. And without sleep, we just don't get a lot done and we aren't really positive. Also, over the next few weeks, we will talk with experts on eliminating stress from your daily life, and that's obviously, in addition to the PENS formula, it's extremely important. The stress reduction is an absolutely essential ingredient to a healthy and energetic lifestyle. And we will begin today with an overview of the subject of re-energizing your life at middle age. But before I introduce my guest, I want to urge you to preview my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, by Roy C. Richards. This book presents a comprehensive roadmap to your very own personal midlife renewal, one step at a time. You know, it took me 30 years to wake up to life and renew my life, but you don't have to wait that long. You can follow step by step the exercises and suggestions in this book, and you too will wake up to the type of refreshed and really energetic, happy life that I have today, and you can have it too. And you can go to www.middleagerenewal.com to obtain this free gift, or obtain a free gift and preview my book. And you can also buy my book on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Once again, that's A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, by Roy C. Richards. And now let's proceed with today's program. Well, today we launch a series of programs on revitalizing or re-energizing life at midstream. In my book, I ask, have you been sleepwalking through life? And I did that for 30 years, from 1970 to 2000. Sleepwalking doesn't mean you aren't accomplishing things in your life, but ask yourself this. As you head off to work or play each morning, do you do so down in the dumps and lacking energy? When you come home at night, are you tired out and dragging? Do you spend most evenings mindlessly watching TV, too tired or too exhausted mentally to really do much of anything else. And ask yourself, at middle age, am I convinced that my best years are behind me? Sadly, do you utter phrases like, what if, or if only I had done something different, which is a most unfortunate phrase to spend the second half of your life uttering. Our guest today is here to guide us in revitalizing our lives to accomplish all that we need to do and aspire to do in 2013. And she's here to talk about unfinished business that may be draining your energy and robbing your spirit. Our guest is Frederica Close, an acclaimed speaker, author, and facilitator for the sought-after Sacred Contracts workshops. And she has a book coming out in a couple of weeks called Divine Grace, The Power That Illuminates Your Soul. And she was a registered nurse for 45 years, and for the past 20 or so years, she was an HIV/AIDS program director and a clinical nurse supervisor. So she knows a lot about health, obviously. Hello, Frederica, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Hello there. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to speak with you and your audience.
Well, as we progress through middle age, why do so many of us feel so tired and uninspired, and why do the two so often go together?
All right. Well, what I'd like to do is just step back a little bit from middle age, and let's get an understanding of energy in general.
Okay, that's fine.
And it's interesting that you talk about when you hit 30. I don't have a lot of knowledge about astrology, but some. And 30 is when our Saturn returns, if you will. It's the stars are in the same place as when we were born.
Oh,
and we
yeah.
usually have a lot of chaos that starts happening then. And during that time period, we start to ask questions exactly like you asked. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about energy. So I'm going to do it very simplistically to begin with. And this is, we all know what a cardiogram looks like.
Yeah.
It's a visual representation of the energetic pattern of the heart.
Yeah, and you certainly don't want it to be a flat line.
No. And then if you put leads, the same, similar leads on the head, you get what they call an electroencephalogram, and that will actually give you a visual of your thoughts.
Oh.
So everything that we do, say, and think is connected to energy.
Oh, I see.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Now, I have been studying with Carolyn Mace for almost 10 years. She is a renowned international speaker, a medical intuitive, but she is also a five-time New York Times bestselling author.
Oh, I see.
And I want to talk about her very simplistic logo that will give your audience a better understanding of the basics of energy.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
So we're going to try to do a visual here. So think of a little stick figure, and that would represent us. And then think of this stick figure in parentheses, okay?
Now, I've been in parentheses for a long time, I think.
Well, these parentheses are what people in the energetic world refer to as your aura.
Oh, so, yes, I've heard of that.
Okay, so many people are familiar with that term today.
Yeah.
The goal is to keep our energy in our auric field. Okay.
Yeah.
Now imagine little lines of energy coming into your head. This is in her logo.
Yeah.
But of course they enter us from the universe everywhere in our body.
Yeah.
But if you think of it as a bank account and you get so much particles of energy per day, which of course is not true, but this is kind of a metaphor.
Yeah, no, I
then we ask, how do we spend it?
Yeah, are we spending more than we are taking in also?
Exactly. And here is the big question. Where are we other than here?
Yeah.
Because any part of us, body, mind, or spirit, that is not present, meaning in our past or in the future being worried, we are paying from our bank account.
Yeah. You're saying when we're worried about the future, basically we're spending money out of our bank account.
Absolutely.
It should be concentrated on the present.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or the past.
Yeah.
The reverse is the same as well.
Yeah, that can be very draining, too, if you keep regretting something you did in the past.
Yes. And so if we are not present, we are leaking or, in many cases, hemorrhaging our energy so we cannot animate our present or our future.
Yeah. That's a very good point, the way you put that. I never really thought of that, but it makes so much sense that so many people that don't live in the present and are really squandering that energy needlessly. And what is it, like 80% of what you're worried about never happens or something like that?
Yes, Mark Twain, his quotes are, you know, boy, terrible things have happened to me in my life. Some of them actually happened.
Yeah.
So the mind is very powerful, very powerful. So let's get back now to your original question, and this is about middle age.
Yeah.
Well, with middle age, we have more history.
Yeah, there's more to past to worry about and fret about. What if, and if only, and all those kind of ridiculous questions we ask ourselves. If only I had finished school, or if only I had married Bob instead of Fred. And you know, there's all these if onlys that are so pointless.
Right. Cha-ching! Cha-ching, cha-ching. So you don't have yourself. You're in other places, okay?
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily related to age. If you look at youth today, many of the youth are really drained of energy, centered around the economy. You know, college kids getting out of school, no job, loss of identity. Things are so incredibly complicated today.
So you're saying a lot more, I guess a lot more young people are getting stressed as well today as their elders.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, so it's really not a phenomenon directly related to age, although I would think, you know, if you're not concentrating on the present and you're getting beaten down mentally by worrying about the past or the future, it probably impacts negatively your health and overall well-being, I would think. And so
absolutely.
That's partly has to do with age. At least you have more history to regret when you get older. And you have more to, you know, you approach closer to your mortality and perhaps worry about old age and how you're going to survive when you're in a nursing home or whatever. You can worry about that. It's kind of ridiculous to
absolutely.
Do that.
Absolutely. Yes, and those are all things that you really are, in Buddhist terms, you're attached to the illusions.
Yeah.
And a simple story that I'll tell you, when I was traveling in India and studying Eastern philosophy, is the snake story, and it has to do with a young boy who was traveling home to his village from the village of his friend where he was playing. And it's getting dusk, and he's getting very anxious about needing to get through this jungle path to get back to his village.
Yeah.
And so he's very focused on the path because he's losing light, and he doesn't want to get off the path and end up in the jungle. And as he's concentrating, all of a sudden he sees a snake in the path ahead of him, just laying there trying to get the last heat from the earth at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And the boy panics. He's even more frightened.
Yeah.
And he's frantically trying to figure out how can he get around this, and there's no way around.
Yeah.
So he comes very close, very cautiously, very quietly, totally focused, and he sees that the snake is a rope.
Oh.
The illusion.
Yeah.
The illusion. The nursing home illusion.
Yeah.
All of the things that you mentioned, we get caught in the external maya, is the Sanskrit term, or illusion of things that never happen. But yet we pay the price.
Yeah.
We pay with our energy.
Yeah, that's very true. It's so pointless. Of course, there's also the law of attraction, that sometimes this negative energy attracts negative results, which is another reason we shouldn't be worrying too much about
Well, what we perceive, how we perceive the world around us and the illusions that we create of what we're looking at.
Yeah.
Think of a car accident. You have multiple people who witness it. Each one of them will give you a little bit different version.
Yes, very definitely.
So we perceive internally, we project it out, and then that becomes our personal reality.
Yeah. Well, you describe the intimate relationship of the mind, body, and spirit and their impact on health and well-being, but why is a medical or therapeutic treatment of the body alone often is not enough to take care of a problem?
Okay, well, I'm going to now get a little bit medical and give some information from research studies that have been done that will back up the things that sages and mystics have talked about for eternity, okay?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. So stress not only impairs our memory, but it has a physical effect on our dendritic neurons. These are neuron cells that pass information from one organ in one system to another.
Yeah.
So when we have dendrite loss from stress, it actually impacts our prefrontal cortex of the brain.
Oh.
And they see this in brain scans, and it's what we would expect, a higher incidence in the aging population, and we also see it in Alzheimer's patients.
Yeah, I would think so.
So stress of a job loss in our economy today, or even the perception that you're going to be laid off any day as you're driving into work, can really start to create this destruction of these cells that we need.
Yeah.
It really puts us at an increased risk for heart attacks. It increases the adrenaline hormone, which causes narrowing of our arteries, resulting in high blood pressure, and it increases our cholesterol.
Yeah.
Now, my husband at 39 had a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
And his cholesterol was normal. His blood pressure was normal. He had been a vegetarian for over 10 years at that point. And the only thing they could come up with was stress. And he did have a bit of a family history.
Yeah.
So the important thing for us to get here is self-knowledge. Understand who we are, who's managing our energy, and who is taking our energy.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it, who's managing our energy and where are we getting it from, and how much is being supplied, and how much are we forfeiting or giving out to causes that aren't really helping us further our objective. But,
that's an excellent way to phrase that. Who are we allowing to have our energy? Our dead father, who said we'd never amount to anything?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's not even people that we're interacting with today. Remember the history.
Yeah, I love that term you use in somewhere on your website, woundology, that, you know, your biography in the past can influence your biology today. And your negative stories from the past is limiting what you think you can do today because of some really unfounded belief that you're not good enough to accomplish something just because of what maybe somebody said when you were in childhood or years ago.
Yes, and that becomes the snake in the path.
Yeah.
It's real. To you, it's real. And so you're hemorrhaging your energy to it.
Yeah, and then, of course, you can combine that with the victim phenomenon where you say it's because my parents didn't teach me to do this or that, or, you know, I was born too short, or, you know, I don't have this and that talent, and it's so much easier to blame circumstances or someone else, and even though you're miserable in your own life, you don't have to take personal responsibility for it.
Absolutely. And I just want to don't want to take credit for that term, woundology. That is a Carolyn Mace term.
Oh, no, it's a fascinating term.
Isn't it? Oh, she's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, but, no, it's so true that we've used something negative that happened in the past to to hold us back in the future. And I don't, the real question is, how do we overcome that?
With self-knowledge.
Yeah. No, that's the start, obviously.
Yes. You know, it goes all the way back to the Greek temple, Delphi. Even there, they had inscribed into the entrance, self-knowledge, know thyself. Plato talked about it. Socrates talks about it. All of the masters talk about it.
Shakespeare mentioned that somewhere, too, didn't he?
I'm sorry?
And didn't Shakespeare put that in a play sometime?
Yes,
maybe?
To thine own self be true.
Oh,
that's from
right.
Hamlet.
Yeah, that's right.
This above all, to thine own self be true.
Yeah.
But how do you do that if you don't know who you are?
No, that's exactly right. And how do you really strive for your objectives of the future if you don't really know what they are and what you want to be and what you can be, and if you're not willing to step out from this narrow definition that you may have in your mind of what you're capable of doing, and you're unwilling to try, and you know, you're so afraid that somebody else will put you down, or that you won't succeed and you'll look foolish, and people will say negative things about you, that you just don't really want to stress or step out and do anything.
Well, when your identity is attached to anything outside of yourself, how you look, what your job is, what kind of house you live in, what is your career, who is the person that you have on your arm, any of it, you make yourself vulnerable. Your identity has to be connected within.
Yeah, I was so fascinated, I think on your website, probably a program you had recorded or something on there, where you mentioned that, or someone mentioned that the more attractive women oftentimes have more mental challenges, and because they're so attached to the external, you know, so concentrated on, you know, improving their external appearance that they ignore some of the internal abilities they have.
Yeah. And I'd like to touch on the thing you mentioned about victim, which we all, one time or another, allow to happen to ourselves.
Yeah.
One of the things my husband loves to say is when we blame someone else, we become lame. Be lame.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Because the power then is external.
Yeah.
This person made me do this. My boss is the person who upsets me. We have no, and then we have no control in our story of illusion, so we lose our power, and when we lose our power, we lose our energy, and we are depleted.
Yeah, isn't it ridiculous? What we constantly emphasize on this program is that you've got to be CEO of you, because if you turn over that responsibility to someone else, you're not necessarily going to go in the direction that you want to be headed. And why would anyone turn over responsibility for their lives to another person, be it someone you love or be it someone you despise, you know, whatever. It's outside.
Because we don't want to take the, we don't want to step in and take the responsibility.
Well, what are some tools that we could use in 2013 to start reordering our biochemistry and start reclaiming the wholeness that we want? I know, tell us a little about your sacred contract and how that, you know, you start that journey, which you call it a soul's journey to empowerment and destiny. How do you get started on that whole exercise?
Well, first off, let me say that Sacred Contracts is one of the names of one of Carolyn's best-selling books.
Yes,
And I studied with her, as I said, and obtained my certification to do Sacred Contracts consulting.
Oh, I see.
So the premise of that is that we come into the physical realm, our soul, imprinted. Socrates wrote about that.
Yeah.
If you have multiple children, even identical twins, although they may look alike, the energy that they carry is different.
Hmm.
So we all have different energetic patterns. And a simple way I like to tell my clients that I work with is to think about Woody Allen trying to play Rambo.
I saw that on your website, and that makes me chuckle.
And Sylvester Stallone replying to trying to play Gandhi.
Yeah.
Or Cameron Diaz trying to play the Iron Lady.
Yeah.
So these are all great actors, but
yeah.
they do not have the energy to animate that role. So we need to understand what energy do we have to animate the role of our life to fulfill our destiny.
Yeah, and we first must choose a role that we want for our lives that's appropriate to what we're really cut out to do, I think.
Right. Right, but the energy is what we come with.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I thought that they were going to have Woody Allen as the next Superman episode. No,
so
I'm sorry, I interrupted your thought there.
That's okay. Once we begin to understand the energetic patterns that we carry, then we no longer prostitute ourselves, if you will, to try to be something we're not.
Yeah, that's one of your, what do you call those four archetypes?
Those are the four survival archetypal energetic patterns. The victim that you talked about, the prostitute, how much of our soul are we willing to sell for security, survival.
That's exactly right. That's a sad
the state. The saboteur. The reason that we sabotage ourselves is because that we don't want to make choices that are going to change our life.
Yeah, it's like the old dog that's laying on a nail, but he just doesn't have and is howling, but he doesn't have the initiative to get up off the nail because it doesn't hurt enough.
There you go. And the child.
Yeah.
So those are the four, and Carolyn talks about them as the four legs of self-esteem.
Yeah,
nobody comes here with self-esteem.
What's the child exactly? That's just waiting for somebody else to...
There's different flavors of the child. For instance, I carry the orphan child. I physically was an orphan.
But you
don't need to be a physical orphan. You can be with parents but who are not present.
Yeah.
So the journey of the child, let me just add here that all of these energetic patterns have a light and a shadow. So for me, in my shadow of my orphan child, I am abandoned through life. A lot of fear, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that kind
but
of
in
fear.
My light, I have developed empowerment because I have taken on the responsibility to do it myself.
Yes, and there's some wonderful aspects of childhood that all of us could use, like the imagination and the ability to role play and visualize what possibilities are out there before all the limitations set in that often happen in middle age, what we call diminished expectations.
Yes, that's a great segue into my husband's child. He is the magical child.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So he carries the energy of everything is going to turn out okay. He's
a
real
great.
Optimist, okay? But when we're in our shadow, him and I together, because of my abandonment issues, I'm the sky's falling. In his shadow of only wanting to see positive things, he'll say, problem, what problem?
You're the half empty and he's the half full.
Well, in this situation, we're both half empty because we do need to recognize that something is amiss.
Oh, yes. No, that,
so
that's
so by
too.
Denial and always pretending, if you will, that everything's fine, that's a shadow energy of that.
Well, that's true. You can get in trouble by pretending everything's fine when it isn't, obviously.
Exactly. Exactly. So each one has shadow and light. And then we have eight personal archetypal energetic patterns, and they fill out the 12 houses of the astrological wheel that influences our life.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to get into that aspect of it, just focusing on the self-knowledge. For instance, my children, we have five together, him, hers, and ours, would say to me, I don't want to be your daughter, they're all girls, I would rather be your patient.
Yeah.
Because who I am when I step into the energy of the healer, if you will, the nurse,
yeah,
is different than the energy I step into as a parent.
Huh.
So if you start to notice how you show up in different places, you begin to understand what are the motivators of your life,
yeah,
and more importantly, what animates you. Are you familiar with Joseph Campbell?
No, not really.
He was a very, very famous mythologist, traveled all over the world.
Ooh.
He kind of was a thing that, he was the one who laid out the hero's journey.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard of that.
Yes.
I bet you you've heard this expression, follow your bliss.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
That's him. That's him.
Oh, yeah.
So when you know what animates you, your energy, you are in your bliss, you are able to animate your life and step into your destiny.
Yeah, and that's really what we all want to do.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us about you've got a brand new book that's just about to hit the market called Divine Grace, The Power That Illuminates Your Soul. Just what's in that book and what can people expect?
Well, it actually was something that happened to me. I do about an hour and a half ritual every morning.
Ooh.
And it begins with the Native American tradition of smudging with sage.
Ooh.
And in that, it's a purification ritual, if you will, like a baptism, except you do it with smoke, the smoke of the sage. And so you purify yourself, and then you honor the four directions.
Oh.
And the place of the east is the place of new beginnings, inspiration, and illumination.
Yeah.
The north is the place of knowledge and words and wisdom. The west is the place of courage, the going within place, and the south is the place of innocence and trust.
Ooh.
And faith. So when I was facing the direction of the west, the place of courage, the going within place,
yeah,
I opened my eyes, and this piece of sage that I was holding in my hand, the smoke was going down, not up.
Huh.
It filled the seashell that I hold under it to catch any ash.
Oh.
And flowed over it down to the floor area like a waterfall.
Oh, I see.
I was like, wow. And what became known to me is this is divine grace coming in through the top of your head, flushing out all the debris, past hurts, traumas, insecurity, on and on and on and on.
Boy, that's something that would certainly benefit anyone. So basically, your book is sort of a direction guide to having that similar type phenomenon?
Yes. Not the phenomena. I was told to write it, which was very traumatic for me because I'm not an author.
Yeah.
But it was so profound, I knew it wasn't optional. So the structure is, I don't know if you've heard the word chakra.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, there are seven basic energy places, for lack of a better word, in our body. And when we are able to energize them, we can live totally present. For instance, the first one above our head is called the crown chakra.
Oh.
In this place, we experience the oneness of creation.
I see.
And here is the awareness, not the intellectual thought, okay?
Yeah.
But the actual experience that everything is one.
Mm.
Okay, so what is in the one is in the whole. What is in the whole is in the one. Let's go back to the beginning about the parentheses and the little stick finger and the energy.
Yeah.
So every thought we have, you know, Einstein told us that energy does not go away, it just transforms.
Yeah.
That goes out into creation, the universe, whatever concept, and it influences everything that it touches.
Yeah.
Okay? So when that's illuminated, you start to look at life and everything in it, and honoring it is the same as divinity, if you will. Then the next energy center is what is referred to as your third eye. This is the mind.
Yeah.
It's between your eyebrows. This is the thing that creates the illusion, all the snakes that we drum up in our life.
Yeah.
So when we begin to understand about illusion, we take control. The third coming down is the throat chakra, and this is your will. Now, I spent a week in the Arizona desert with a Yaqui shaman from the Native American tradition.
Oh.
And he would say, the longest distance on the face of the earth is from your head to your heart.
Yeah.
Now, the energy center in between the head and the heart is this throat chakra that I'm talking about, your
yeah.
will.
Yeah.
So what is it that I choose? Choice is the most powerful force that we have control over.
And so
like
many people forfeit that
yes.
power by giving
yes.
the choice to someone else.
Yes. And many people say that love is the most powerful force. But Carolyn points out that we choose to love conditionally or unconditionally.
That's very true.
Okay?
Yeah.
So the object is to get the guidance that we receive that comes into our crown chakra, past the illusions of our mind.
Yeah, that's the false ego
it.
And all the other stuff.
Yes.
It's up there.
Choose it so we can get it into our heart.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, Joseph Campbell that I talked about, he says that the heart is this place of our spiritual birth.
Yeah.
Carolyn calls the heart mission control. Llewellyn von Lee, he is a Sufi mystic alive today, calls the heart the womb of our spirituality.
Ooh.
The reason these profound teachers talk about the heart and how important it is, along with Christ and many other teachers, is that if we want to have our life change, we need to open ourselves to compassion and unconditional love. So
yeah.
a quick exercise about compassion. What I'm going to do is ask you not to talk about, but just think about, and that's for everyone in the audience,
yeah.
for just a few seconds, the worst thing you have ever done in your life.
Not much fun.
Now, when I do this, either in one-on-one counseling or in my workshops or seminars, I ask people, if I asked you to do this today, could you do it again? And 100% of people tell me no. And I ask them why, and they say, because now I know better.
Huh. Yeah, that's like what we say. If you examine your past, and the only reason to do that really is to guide the future, and you can be positive about one of either two conclusions, mostly that you've done mostly what's right in the past, quote, what's right, or maybe you've done a lot what's wrong, what you now consider wrong or a mistake, but you know better now so that you wouldn't do it again, so that you can really reach a positive conclusion from either of those two.
So, Roy, what you just articulated is what in my world is called spiritual alchemy.
Oh.
It's changing the leaden memories that take our energy away from us into golden wisdom.
Oh, I see.
The way we learn is by knowing what not to do because it didn't work.
Yeah,
Bernie Siegel, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a famous oncologist.
Yeah, I've heard
He
the name.
Tells us that F is not for failure, it's for feedback.
Yeah, that's a... You often, somewhere on your website, I picked up the knowledge that, you know, sometimes the negatives are the greatest teachers that we have in our lives.
The shadow, yes,
yeah.
absolutely. Now, the last words, or some of the last words reportedly that Christ said was, forgive them, for they, can you fill it in?
No, not what they do.
You got it. You got it. That's compassion.
Yeah.
When they ask the Dalai Lama, are you familiar with the Dalai Lama?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay. How do you feel about the Chinese that slaughtered so many of your monks and countrymen?
Yeah.
His immediate response is compassion.
Yeah.
He and other enlightened beings see the suffering within the being who is doing something horrendous or even not in centered with the truth of who they are.
Yeah.
And therefore forgive them.
Yeah.
That's what compassion is.
That's what everyone is urged to become Christ-like, and certainly compassion is centered to it, along with love and
Yes, or even if the concept of religion, you know, the dogma, all of the mess that we're in within that as well, just think of being aligned with the truth of who you are at the time of your making.
Yeah, and I always liked it when you quote Christ and love your neighbor as yourself. You've also got to love and respect yourself before you can really love and respect your neighbor, and you need to understand yourself.
Okay, so what is in one is in the whole.
Yeah, that's right. What is
you
in
and
one?
The neighbor are one.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, all right. So now we move down to the next energy center, and that's our self-esteem. It's right above our belly button. You get that gut feeling when somebody betrays us or,
Yeah, there's so much of that.
Yes. So when you brought the example of the model, if you will, a woman whose whole life is centered on her external changing, because life has changed.
Yeah.
Her self-esteem, she has no control over. It's controlled by the degenerative process of nature.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So gaining your self-esteem through the internal connection with your truth.
Yeah.
Okay? So then the next energy center is in the sacral chakra. This has a lot to do with one-on-one relationships and power struggles.
Yeah.
But when we start to see the other having the truth and we have the truth, we interact with them differently.
Yeah, the win-win rather than you versus me.
You got it.
Approach.
You got it. And the last one is at the base of our spine called the root chakra. This is where we carry our tribal beliefs.
Oh.
Now, in primitive times, it was easy to see that the tribe needed to stay together for survival.
Yeah.
And anyone that tried to leave the tribe was a threat.
Yeah.
So today we see it primarily, it starts with the terrible twos, but we get the full force in adolescence. Okay,
yeah.
So the adolescent is leaving the tribe. The rule, they're breaking the rules. This is threatening to the family tribe.
Huh.
Okay, and we take these ideas and these beliefs that we've been trained as we come into this family. This is the food we eat on holidays. This is where we go on vacation. These are the people we can like. These are the people we don't like.
Yeah, we don't like the Democrats or we don't like the Republicans.
You got it.
Or, that kind of
you, and on and on and on and on. And those beliefs rule our life until we do self-excavation and we're back to self-knowledge.
And that certainly, the politicians could certainly use that lesson right now.
Couldn't we all?
Couldn't we all? Well, tell us how...
That's the structure of the book.
Yeah. No, I know it'll be available very shortly. How's the best time to find out about it? I guess go to your website.
You can go to my website. It'll be posted there within a few weeks.
Okay.
It'll be on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the,
And what's your address of your website so people will know where to go?
It's www.sacredcontracts.com.
I went there, and they can also find out you do one-on-one consultations, and you have interactive workshops and seminars. I guess you just had one on May 30th, so we're a little late for that, the spiritual
alchemy. Well,
May
30th is coming up.
But this will probably be broadcast after
oh, I
the
see
seminar
what
is over.
I
that's the problem. But
and I also do one-on-one counseling by Skype.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That's certainly... No, you have a lot of opportunities there, and I would certainly recommend that people go to that website and explore some of those. And there's also some interviews and other things on there that give you a lot of knowledge and understanding of this whole concept of why your energy is being drained and how to get into now and start rebuilding that or using that energy, the deposits that are being made, rather than squandering them on the future or the past.
And, absolutely.
We want to thank you so much, Frederica, for joining us today, and best of luck with your book as it comes out, and I'm sure that it'll be a success because it has a lot of knowledge to convey.
Well, thank you so much for the honor of being here. I truly, truly appreciate it, and I am humbled by your wisdom, Roy.
Well, I'm humbled by yours as well, and may you have a great day.
you too. Thanks again.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.